I've been speaking to Jordan for a couple of weeks now, and he's a great, great person and a fantastic athlete himself. Welcome along, Jordan.
Cheers, Tom. Thank you.
Good, how are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. You've been busy this weekend, eh? Playing cricket, eh?
Yeah, first game of the season this last week, so it's been a bit of a busy week.
And how did you get on?
Yeah, we won. We got off to a good start, so luckily we could turn that into next week, into the second game, and hopefully win again.
That's great news, mate. So welcome along, everyone. This is the Diabetes guest speaker slot. If anyone wants to join in, you can press the blue button at the bottom and you can request or send any questions through to Jordan and join the discussion. You can also request to speak as well. So before we get going, so Jordan was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes in September 2013, a month before his 17th birthday. Jordan has been playing cricket since a very young age, and I'm sure he'll be telling us all about that over the course of the next hour. Jordan is a professional cricketer for Yorkshire County Cricket Club and is an ambassador for Diabetes UK. So what we're going to do tonight, Jordan, is myself, Chris, and hopefully if Morgan is able to jump on later on, if not, me and Chris will throw some questions. We've got some questions that we'll just go through. Just feel free to just answer them as best as you can. And then, like I said, if the community want to come forward and ask any questions or whatever, we can have a little Q&A, if that sounds good with you, mate.
Yeah, that's perfect. Fine.
Nice one. So what we'll do is we'll head back to the start of your sort of journey with diabetes before we talk a little bit about your sort of career, because I know Chris said before, he asked about, could you explain the sort of rules and the gamemanship of cricket and talk about that. And I said, you know what? I think Jordan would probably be the best one to tell you that. So let me rewind time and let's look back to your sort of where it all started. When obviously you were 17, how did you find out you were diabetic? What did you have many symptoms? Can you take us back on that sort of early sort of journey?
Yeah, so the first kind of thing that comes to my mind was a bit of a weird episode I had after a game of cricket, actually, which was I started cramping up during the game, and on the way back in the car, I could not sit on the back seats and bend my legs, so I had to sit across the back seats and pretty much lie down. At this time, just thought it might have been tiredness from playing cricket almost every day and training, things like that, but in the week the week following, I was at school and I went to the shop, and I must have gone through probably two cans of full fat Coke, a bag of crisps and a chocolate bar, and within about 5 minutes, and my friends were a little bit concerned about me. They actually said to me, are you feeling okay? And I said, well, I actually feel quite tired, but my body's telling me that I need more sugar to kind of give myself energy, but obviously that wasn't the case. And my mum actually works at the doctor's as a receptionist, so she kind of knows these kind of things, the signs and symptoms. And I actually had the general symptoms of type 1 diabetes, which were I'd lost weight in the weeks prior. I was going to the toilet a lot more often, and I just started to feel generally very tired. And I went to the doctor's straight away. I think my blood glucose tested, and I was at 44. Obviously, in England, I think the US have it in a different measurement, but we have it in millimoles. And mine was between 4 and 7, but mine was 44, which was 10 times what it should have been.
I think that's 792. Is that right, Chris? Doing the maths.
That sounds about right to me.
Wow, incredibly high.
Yeah, so the doctor looked at me and said, look, I think you should get down to the hospital straight away, because he was quite surprised that I was still standing. And I think the fact that I was playing so much sport probably kept me going, because I think my blood sugar levels were actually fluctuating due to the amount of exercise that I were doing. So got to the hospital, straight into hospital, got me into a bed and onto a drip, and 3 days in hospital, and then I was learning the ropes of how to manage my type 1 diabetes.
Wow, incredible. So did you have any sort of experience or knowledge of diabetes before this? Did you even know what diabetes were? I guess your mum did, working in a GP surgery, but did you have any connections with diabetes, or was this completely brand new to your world?
No, totally brand new. There's like the rest of my family is absolutely nobody who has been diabetic in the past. So that was obviously a shock to me. I had an idea of what like type 1 diabetes was, but wasn't fully sure how it would affect me moving forward. Obviously, the first thought was about my sport and whether I'd be able to play sport again to the level that luckily I play at now. But after kind of...
So how did you feel when you first diagnosed then? Was that one of the first things that came to your mind? You were thinking, oh my gosh, am I going to play again?
Yeah, exactly. That was pretty much the first thought, really. I think at that time, in that age, my cricket was the kind of main thing on my mind, coming towards the end of school and thinking about my future and what I wanted to do afterwards. So I think that was one of the first thoughts on whether I could actually get back out and get fit again and be able to manage it around playing sport, and obviously playing professional sport is a different level altogether. So
absolutely,
to be able to get to this stage now is obviously I'm very happy. But at the point when I was diagnosed, I was in a bit of shock and kind of struggling to think about what my future would look like.
Yeah, definitely. Were there any people behind the scenes that were very supportive or motivating or inspiring to you to kind of to get through this sort of period of time and hopefully and then obviously take you on and spur you on to where you are now? Were any influential people that were there for you?
I think obviously my family were the main drivers, really. I think they looked after me very well and were always look out for me and still look out for me in terms of my blood sugar levels. Even though I am 25 now, I still get calls from mum and dad after a game of cricket, or if they're there and asking me if my levels are okay and things like that. So it's they'll always be worried about me, I guess, and
of course,
making sure that I'm looking after myself as well as doing well in cricket, because that was the main thing as well, was not neglecting it, making sure that I look after it as well as possible to be able to move forward in my career.
So when you were first diagnosed then, were you on injections? Are you still on injections? Or can you maybe just tell us a little bit about sort of what you were diagnosed with? Was it injection pens or pumps, or were you on CGM? Or could you just tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I was, I'm still on injections now. It was a choice I made, probably coming out of the Young Diabetes Clinic. They said to me, look, we're getting to a point now where if you don't want to be on a pump in the future, it could be trickier for you to get hold of a pump in terms of how I manage my diabetes. And with the amount of sport that I play, I just felt like a pump for me would be slightly impractical. And I don't mind injecting myself, and how I look after it and how I manage it. And my control is pretty good. I have off days, which everybody does, but I feel comfortable now during like my sports career injecting all the time. So I was on injection straight away, and that was another thing, was kind of injecting a needle into me every day, learning how to do that and not being scared. And obviously it becomes a breeze after a few weeks, but a lot of people still question me today on how they do it, because they struggle with their needles. Obviously they're not very, very big needles, but that's a different matter. But yeah, so I was the Freestyle Libre obviously wasn't around back in 2013, so I was finger pricking every day, and just really I was probably testing kind of 10, 20 times a day just to make sure I looked after it as well as I could and get into some sort of routine. Obviously now it makes it a lot easier for me in terms of playing sport with the CGMs, because I can scan my Freestyle Libre in a second instead of having to finger prick myself, which can take a couple of minutes. So when I'm actually playing a game, it's a lot more efficient for me, and it's obviously a revelation moving forward in type 1 diabetes that we have these kind of products that help us and get into a routine and help us so well, because finger pricking can become a bit of a bit of a pain, and obviously the scars on the fingers can show that when you're doing it all the time. But no, I'm lucky to be able to use a Libre, and it's working well for me.
That's great news, mate. Do you have any plans for the future of where you'd like to go with your sort of diabetes? Would you be interested in the pump? Or like you say, you feel that you've always had your diabetes pretty much under control with injections, that you'd be happy to carry on with that for the time being?
Yeah, it's something I'd always be open to it. I think I can always try different things. At the moment, I'm very comfortable using the insulin pens and injecting all the time, and it's just very efficient for me in terms of my cricket, because the last thing I want to do is be playing cricket and knock my pump off or have a problem whilst I'm playing and have to go off and sort it out. And it's just a lot more, like I say, it's efficient for me to use injections.
Absolutely. Talking about growing up then with diabetes from, say, 17, how did you find maybe sharing with others that you were diabetic? Were you quite open with that, or were you a bit nervous or unsure? How did you cope over the years, like, saying, I'm diabetic? Yeah. I guess it wasn't as open as, hey, I'm Jordan, I'm diabetic. But were you quite open to it? And when you go out for, say, a family meal or whatever, or in the changing rooms, are you quite open to getting your CGM out and scanning your arm and injecting? You don't feel sort of took by it or embarrassed, or do you maybe take some time away to do them sort of things, which is absolutely fine?
Yeah, I think at first, when I was obviously first diagnosed, it takes a bit of time to let everybody know, and obviously the usual questions come in for people who don't really understand diabetes, and it's, well, is it because you eat too much crap food or things like that? And it's obviously that's nowhere near the correct answer, but I think once people started to know that I was diabetic, people were very aware of it, and the right people started to look out for me and were aware of it and make sure that they didn't kind of steal my so there was one story in the changing rooms early on when I take a lot of Lucozade, so sports drinks and sweets and things, just in case I have if I go low. And there was one situation where lads were taking my sweets and drinking my drinks, because obviously in a men's changing room in sport, literally anything that's put in front of you, people will take. So the coaching staff had to have a word with a few of the players to make sure that they stamped their authority down and make sure they didn't steal my things, because it could actually end up being pretty sinister if something kind of bad happened. But now the lads know in the changing rooms, I'm more than open to talk about it, and the lads ask me questions all the time, but they actually wind me up sometimes about it and have a bit of a laugh about it, and I'm more than open to have a laugh. Like, it's the best way to deal with it personally, is to be comfortable around them, and they're more than comfortable to ask me questions and talk about it in front of me. I really don't mind. It's something that's part of my life moving forward now, so I just take it on board and keep trying my best to look after it.
No, that's a great attitude to have, Jordan, honestly. What's been your sort of ups and downs or challenges along the way of having diabetes? Have you had any sort of moments you think, oh no, this isn't going well, or any specific challenge that you've overcome? I guess the main challenge was being diagnosed and wondering whether you'd play professionally. But I'm just wondering if there's any other sort of highlights.
Yeah, well, for me, to manage my diabetes well is being in a routine. And I think with my job, in terms of travelling around and being in different places at different times, and we have late nights, late travelling nights back. So last night I got back at midnight from our away game, and it kind of ruins your routine that you're in. And that can make my levels fluctuate quite a bit. And then throughout the season, we play from April to end of September, play and train regularly, and then we get October into November off, so about 6 weeks off. And that really affects my blood sugar levels, because my body kind of questions itself. It's very confused as to why I'm not doing as much activity as I have been for the last 6 months. And therefore, my blood sugar levels actually fly up because I'm out of a routine, and I'm trying my best to get it back to normal. But I'll take more and more insulin, and sometimes it actually doesn't bring it down. My sensitivity becomes a lot lower. But when I'm actually playing and training every day, I get into a very good routine where I can control and manage it, and I have certain trends for game days, certain trends for training days that I can actually see, pick out and control. It's a bit more you don't know what you're going to get some days during the off season, and I have to kind of take that in my stride and do the best I can.
Absolutely. I think, like I say, routine structure is so important. With that in mind then, like you said, obviously you're traveling a lot and you're going to different parts of the world, different time zones, different sort of heat factors. You mentioned obviously like last night you came back at say midnight. Do you factor in things like when you would inject your sort of long acting insulin? Do you have like a routine of right, it's always at 7 a.m. and it's always at 7 p.m. and that will help the sort of background of it, or do you find it sometimes a bit tricky when you are traveling away or having sort of late competitions or getting back late? Do you have them sort of routines that help?
Yeah, I tend to take it when I go to bed on a night. So I wouldn't say it's an exact time. There's probably a gap of kind of 2 hours where I don't mind. I know that I can take
Like
it and it's not really going to
a
affect,
window, yeah.
yeah, like a window. And even if I go past that, it's not really massive, but it's things like traveling that actually knock you out a little bit because, so for example, this winter I've been away twice. I've been to Australia and then to Pakistan playing cricket and I've been flying around the world. I've been on probably six, seven, eight flights. And overnight flights, late night flights mess with you a little bit because of obviously the time difference, and then because you're not necessarily walking upstairs to your bedroom and going to bed, and then you go, oh, I need to take my insulin. You're sat in a plane chair and you're thinking, you never actually think about the time, and you're like, oh, actually, I forgot to take my insulin. So you actually forget and it knocks you out. So things like that, traveling are a big kind of they confuse your body, but they actually confuse you because then you forget like your routine and when you're going to take your insulin. So. But I'll try my best to stick to. I'm on Trezibor as my long-lasting insulin at the moment, so I actually only take it on an evening. So as long as I remember in a certain window of like 2 or 3 hours to take that on a night, I'm usually okay the next day, which is.
Yeah. And are you on the disposable pens out of interest?
No, I'm not. I'm on the cartridges.
Okay, brilliant. Are they the smart Bluetooth ones that tell you the sort of the mode of when you last injected and how much you injected?
Yeah, so if you
Yeah.
click the top of the button down, it tells you obviously the units you took and how many hours ago.
And how long have you had been on them?
Oh, probably it must be 4 years now, I think.
Yeah.
Quite a
And do you
while.
think that has been a game changer and helped you over the years?
Yeah, definitely, because the amount of times I've gone to bed and taken my long lasting insulin, and you sat there thinking, well, I actually can't remember how many units I took last night. But then obviously you kind of forget because for me, I'll vary my long-lasting insulin depending on game days and things like that. Game days, training days, days off. So if I go and take a little bit more than I usually do, and I'm playing the next day, sometimes I'll find myself going a little bit lower. Obviously, it's obviously important those kind of pens that tell you and give you a reminder of. How many units you took the night before is the key.
Absolutely. I've recently gone on to them, and to be honest, they're such a game changer. Just having that sort of availability of something telling you when you inject and how much you injected, and also that sort of 0.5 increment as well. I think them sort of features have just really helped me because years ago, you just think actually that one more unit of insulin might just like tip the balance,
Just tip
or
you up, yeah, tip
it,
you up, yeah.
yeah. Or simply just going, did I take that? Did I take that insulin? Because you know what I mean? I'm sure we've all been there. And then you're in that dilemma and that need to think, do I take it again? Do I
Yeah,
have
definitely,
it? Do I
yeah.
not take it? And then the next day you could be either end of the scale because you've either have taken it twice
Yeah, definitely.
or you haven't taken it and you rock it high and it can have that knock on effect, can't it? But yeah, I think these new pens are the way forward for sure.
100%.
Brilliant. So what we'll do, we'll head over to Chris, who's States over in the States, and he's going to talk a little bit about your sort of career background as a professional cricketer and your journey to that. I feel I've put you in the deep end, really, haven't I, Chris? Because you don't know much about cricket, and I've given you probably the toughest subject, but I'm sure Jordan will look after you. Just
That's
read the
definitely.
questions.
Hello, Jordan.
Hi, Chris. You okay?
I'm doing well.
Good.
All right. Well, just start. I mean, some of this. The Tom had sent me some ideas and things to talk about, and one of the things that jumped out at me is he wanted me to ask where your strengths are in the game and whether it's batting or bowling, And that jumped out at me because bowling in the U.S. means something completely different than what it's it means in the cricket context. When I think of bowling, I think about rolling a one stone ball down a wooden lane at a bunch of wooden pins and trying to knock them down. So maybe we should just sort of back up and do just sort of a general overview of cricket and how it works, not necessarily going into, you know, nitty gritty details, rules or anything, but just sort of the overall game and how it works. And then we can talk about sort of your history and how you got into it.
Yeah. So it's actually, when you put me on the spot, cricket is actually quite a tricky game to explain. But so it's...
He asked me before Jordan, and I was like, we'll wait for Jordan.
Yeah, it's actually quite hard to explain, but obviously the closest thing I'd compare it to in American sport is obviously baseball, your pitcher. So your pitcher is your bowler in cricket, and obviously your batter is your batter. And the aim of the game is to score runs. You have a pitch which has got a boundary around it. And if you clear the boundary without the ball bouncing, it's 6 runs. If you clear the ball, if you hit the ball on the ground and it goes past the boundary, it's 4 runs. And then you can hit the ball into the field and run like in baseball, and you get 1, 2, 3 runs. And then obviously, like I say, the aim of the game for the bowlers is to get 10 wickets, which means they get 10 people out on the batting team. And then each team bats. The one that scores the highest amount of runs wins the game.
And these games can go on for quite a while, correct?
Yeah, so there's 3 different formats. So there are 4-day games. Well, there's 4 or 5-day games, which go on for a while. And then there are games that only last a day, so there's a 20-over game. So an over consists of 6 balls. So a 20-over game is 120 balls for one batting team, 120 balls for the other batting team. And those games typically last around 3 hours, and they're a bit more entertaining because they're a lot shorter, and they're usually the games that are televised because they get big crowds and a lot of people go to watch. And those kind of games, that's where people go and have a few beers and watch on a Friday evening usually. So it's gets quite rowdy and there's good crowds.
Okay, so how did you get into it in the first place?
So obviously, like I say, cricket in England is a big sport. It's probably the second sport behind football or soccer for you American. So my family played cricket, and that's typically the way I got into it, was watching my dad and watching my brother. I used to go along on a weekend and watch my dad and hit the ball on the side of the pitch. And gradually, as I got older, started playing in teams. And over in England, when you do well for your local club, there's lots of different representative teams that you get called up to. And then eventually you get to county level, which is the level that I'm at now. And you go through academies, and then you go into kind of the professional environment. So I went from I started on the academy at Yorkshire when I was around 14, and then moved onto the professional staff around 19, 20. So it's all just people go through kind of a pathway into professional cricket, but then some people might go, they might get missed on the pathway and they might come into professional cricket later. It's the same thing for kind of football, other sports, but there's not necessarily a smooth pathway into the sport. It's if you're doing well at any time in local cricket, then you might get picked. But luckily for me, I had a smooth pathway through academy cricket and then into professional.
Wow. Okay. just trying to process all of that. Did you have role models? I know you said your family played, but were there professional cricketers that you looked up to growing up?
Yeah. So I used to go watch. So the team that I play for now, I watched them when I was a lot younger, kind of around 9, 10, 11 years old. And there were players that played for Yorkshire and England at the time who I looked up to, and you aspire to be like them. So yeah, luckily I've had the chance to play with some of those players. kind of you learn off them. You watch 10 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, I was watching on TV, but then now I'm actually learning off them and playing with them in the same team. So I'm actually very lucky to do that.
All right. How does the training sort of regimen go? Do you have specific like weight training or cardiovascular? Are you running wind sprints?
What else
involved with the physical nature of the sport?
Yeah. Cricket is actually quite a physical sport. A lot of people, especially English people, are mistaken for cricket and say that it's a bit of a lazy sport, but over the last kind of 20 years there's been a lot of fitness introduced into cricket, especially professional cricket. And so my off season will start in November, and November leading to December, January will be mainly fitness work, so kind of cardio work. We'll have a certain gym program to stick to. That is just really to prepare us for the cricket season, which then starts in April. So that those actual gym programs will be very specific to what kind of player you are, whether you're a batter or a bowler, or if you're a batter and a bowler at the same time. So then that prepares you in terms of strength and kind of muscular endurance needed to perform during the season. And obviously other aspects such as speed and cardio work.
So do you have a preference with batting or bowling?
So I'm what they call an all-rounder. So that means that I bat and bowl. You have some people who just bat, and then some people who just bowl.
And then is there sort of any running around in the field, fielding balls, that sort of thing as well?
Yeah. So that's the thing. Everybody has a field. You have 11 players. So there's only one bowler at one time. And obviously the rest, the other 10 players that are on your team have to field and retrieve the ball.
All right, I've got getting a little bit of a better mental picture of it now.
Yeah.
The joking about it being a non-athletic sport sort of rang true. There's a joke in the U.S. about baseball.
Yeah.
There's no delay of game in baseball because the entire game is a delay.
Yeah, that is pretty similar to it to cricket, to fair, especially when it's over 4 days. A lot of people can find it very boring, and to be fair, even playing it at some stage can get boring, because if the thing is that people don't like about cricket, even after 4 or 5 days, it can still be a draw and you can have no winner.
Do the professional games all typically, are those generally the single day affairs, or does it vary depending on the particular competition or tournament, or how does that work?
Yeah, so there's three tournaments that run through the season. So there's a 4 day tournament, there's a 20 over tournament, which is obviously, like I say, about 3 hours, and there's a 50 over tournament, which lasts like a full day. the 4 day tournament is kind of seen as the most important tournament, and that's the one that's the most traditional, because the other two tournaments actually only came into cricket kind of, well, 20 over cricket only came in 20 years ago, and that was a new format that was brought in. So the 4 day cricket is actually the most traditional.
And then for sort of managing your diabetes when all of this is going on, do you have specific diets that you follow? Or are you trying to be more in the sort of keto diet, lower carb, for more steady energy? Or do you need to fuel with lots of carbs before matches?
Yeah, for me, so for example, this week I've played a 4 day game, and I've bowled 38 overs, which is 180 balls, 228 balls, so that's 228 sprints. So I've for me personally, my diet leading into a game has to be quite high carb because I need that energy to be able to get me through, and also to recover each day, because I'm not going to lie, the last couple of mornings I've woken up pretty kind of sore and stiff, and I have to get back into the, go back out and play every day, and obviously I need to be in the best, kind of the best shape I can to perform every day. So the high carb diet whilst I'm playing is the one that I'll stick to, and if I've got a couple of training days where I don't need those carbs, and I'll kind of settle for a few healthier options.
And do you keep track of all the carbs? Do you count each one and really try to dial in your insulin doses to match it, or is it sort of a I'm hungry and I think I know this, I need about this much insulin? So I've talked to people that use both methods. So
yeah, it's very much a guessing game. I think, like I say, over the years, you kind of get to know which kind of foods contain how much carbs. So I kind of have a good idea when I'm taking my insulin. But like I say, when I'm actually playing on game days, I'll actually take a little less insulin. Just I'd rather my blood sugar levels be a touch higher than they should be, just to stop the chances of me dropping low whilst I'm actually playing. Because that in itself will obviously hinder my performance. And my blood sugar tends to drop anyway with the amount of running around that I'm doing. So a little bit less insulin is always good for me.
Do you do other sports or exercise in addition to cricket?
Well, I play a lot of golf, which is obviously not too hard on the body, but I used to play quite a bit of football. But now I'm professional in cricket. It's very hard for me to play football in case of injuries and things like that, because that will obviously I could lose my contract if I come back with a big injury.
Do you when you're obviously playing your matches, do you check your blood levels throughout the game, or is it just before, and then do you have breaks over the period of the time, and then, or do you kind of, if you're starting to feel a bit shaky or whatever, you go check yourself? And has your diabetes ever sort of stopped you playing or training for, even if it's like 5 minutes or for longer?
Yeah, so luckily at the professional level, you usually take, so like I said, obviously a team of 11 players, but you usually take 12 or 13 players just in case of an injury before the start of the game. And what happens during the game is that the 12th and 13th player will be the kind of the drinks men. So they'll run drinks on during breaks in the game. So what will happen is I'll give my monitor to one of the players and they will run it on when I need it or when we get a little break. And then if I do feel a little bit shaky, the 12th or 13th player can come on and replace me for 5 minutes, 5-10 minutes, and I'm allowed to go off the pitch to actually check that everything's okay, and if I need to treat a hypo, then I can treat a hypo. And as to my diabetes has not stopped me in a bad way from playing or training, but there's a little breaks that I'll take just to make sure that everything's okay. But everybody's okay with that. The coaching staff and the medical staff, they know exactly what I need and what I need to do if I need to come off.
Yeah. So you know, you mentioned about maybe if you have to jump off for 5 minutes and they bring us sort of substitute on, is that part of the rule of the game, or is this a sort of special thing that they put in place for you if you need it, sort of thing?
Nah, it's part of a rule. It's anybody can go off for five, 10 minutes it has to be a kind of a decent reason.
Of course,
whether you're injured or whether you need to use a toilet or whatever, things like that. And obviously, me being diabetic just kind of contributes to that. All the officials of the game know me personally and know that I need to do that, so they're more than happy
to support that 100%. Trying to think what I was going to say. Do you have a team within your sort of coaching staff who look after you or support you with your diabetes, or do they kind of allow you to sort of manage it on your own, and if you need support from them, you go to them, or do they have like a program in place that they do support you with your diabetes, whether it's looking at meals or just helping you with deciding dosages or anything like that? Are you more independent, or do you have a team, or is the team there available if if you need them, basically.
Yeah, me personally, I'm very much independent in kind of managing my diabetes at the games. Obviously, they're very aware of what they need to do, and in case of an emergency, really, that's why I told them. Obviously, I advise them on what happens and what I am doing and when I'm doing certain things. So I don't really rely on them. I'll obviously go to them if I really needed something, but they don't actually kind of interfere with what I'm doing in terms of treating my diabetes or when I'm taking insulin, things like that. So I'll very much try to be independent and not ask for their help too much.
No, that's great. That's great. You know, say just your everyday life really, whether it's playing cricket or when you've got a few days off or in them off season moments, do you plan your meals quite often? Do you kind of know what you're going to have and like you say, sort of carb count or especially when you are away, do you have like a set sort of meal when you're away, or do you kind of watch what you're eating, or is it whatever's there and you'll decide, actually, I'll have this today or whatnot?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I plan much. One thing it has done is it stopped me snacking a lot. Before I was diabetic, I used to kind of have a few biscuits here and there, like in between meals, but it comes down to the fact that I actually can't be bothered injecting for such little amount of food. So it's taken away that kind of snacking element of my life, and I actually just if I'll just stick to kind of three meals a day. That's kind of my routine, and it's never anything specific. Obviously, I try and be as healthy as possible to contribute towards my kind of playing career as well, not just my daily life.
Absolutely, absolutely. What we'll do now is if anyone, just give you a break a second there, mate. If anyone wants to jump on and ask Jordan any questions, you're more than welcome to join myself, Chris, and Jordan on the guest panel. You can request to speak. You can also press the blue button at the bottom and send a tweet, a message to hashtag diabetes chat, and you can let us know what you think or if you've got any questions for Jordan, and we can get them to him as well. We will head over to the sort of end questions in a minute, but I know Alex is on the panel. Was there anything you wanted to say, Alex, to Jordan? Was there any questions or a comment you wanted to mention?
Hi, Jordan.
Hi, Alex.
Hi. I was just wondering, how do you deal with... So I'm quite an active person as well, and I find that, like, my blood sugar drops like really fast after exercise. Do you find that you get the same? And if so, like, what have you found is sort of like the best snacks that you like to have to bring it up and stuff?
Yeah, it does happen to me quite often. It's usually if I'm in my routine, for in a routine of playing, so if I have kind of four playing days in a row, and if I just take sometimes I'll go to lunch at a cricket game and not even take any insulin, because I know for a fact that if I take the insulin, it'll act so much quicker because my sensitivity is higher.
Yeah.
And if I am actually dropping quick, I'll try and catch it on the way down. Because my sensitivity to hypos is actually pretty good. And I can actually feel them kind of, if I take a reading from my Libra, it'll say kind of around 5, but I can feel myself going already. And the one thing that I use to treat my hypos, which is the fastest thing that I found so far, is a kind of Red Bull. I probably go through more Red Bulls than I should in terms of my daily intake, but it's the fastest thing that that treats my hypos. So yeah, I'd say that's my go-to if I really need it. Other than that, if I feel like I'm dropping but not rapidly dropping, I stick to kind of Lucozades and things like that.
Yeah, that's that. I might try Red Bull.
I've been
trying Coke and orange juice, but there's only so much you can drink.
It's probably not the best thing for us, but
you got to do what you got to do, though, isn't it?
It works well for me in terms of kind of energy as well. Obviously, if I need that last boost of energy, and at the end of a cricket game, Red Bull's always a winner.
Yeah. But thank you.
No worries.
Brilliant question, Alex.
Alex actually stole the question I was going to ask, which I was going to
phrase it a little bit.
I was going to phrase it a little bit differently. So maybe I can ask this. If you had your choice of any hypo treatment, not necessarily, you know, what you need to get it back up super quickly when you're dropping low, but just from a taste or sort of convenience perspective, would it still be Red Bull or something else?
No, so you, like I said, I shouldn't really drink as many Red Bull. I only use Red Bull when I'm actually during game days or training. In my actual off days, I'll stick to kind of sweets, Haribos, things like that. But actually, I don't enjoy eating sweets anymore because I see them more as kind of medicine than they are actually to enjoy. So if I have a packet of sweets, my friends see me scoffing them down. If I'm having a hypo and they're like, oh, you're not going to enjoy them. I said, well, no, to me now it's actually medicine to help me get my sugar levels back up, and sweets are actually not enjoyable for me anymore.
I think that's such a valid point, isn't it? And that's how I sort of feel, that becoming a diabetic and pretty much recently, yeah, I've kind of got that sort of feeling that you can't really, or I don't feel like I can enjoy, say, a bag of Haribos or jelly babies as I used to, because nowadays it's seen as, to me, like a hypo treatment to get me back up, rather than sitting here on an evening just scoffing my face. Or like the other day, I was at a family wedding and they had bags of sweets and stuff, and of course I had a few, but it's gone the days where, probably pre being diagnosed, you wouldn't worry about any of that sort of thing, would you? But yeah, I think your point about it's seen more to you as medicine, I think that's a quite interesting comment.
Yeah.
I love it. Brilliant stuff, Jordan. Thank you so much. Let's move on. Obviously, you are such an incredible sportsman. You are a role model and inspiration to many people out there who want to be involved in sports or aspiring athletes in cricket. And you've done some amazing things over the years, haven't you, in terms of your sort of ambassador role for Diabetes UK. Yeah. I'm just wondering if you could maybe talk about what you've done and why you did it, and what made you want to get connected with the sort of diabetes community?
Yeah, I think as soon as I was diagnosed and I got back into my cricket, I thought that kind of getting in touch with Diabetes UK and other diabetic kind of organisations was something that I'd quite enjoy doing, because I think it was actually before I became professional that I started kind of doing things with Diabetes UK. But luckily now, with kind of at the level that I'm at, I can kind of try help people and inspire people, young people and young cricketers who want to make it in the game. And I've already spoken to a few young cricketers over the past few years who kind of reached out to me and asked different things in terms of how I kind of manage my diabetes around my cricket and my routines and things like that. But I'll try my best to help them and see, and hopefully they can kind of follow in my footsteps. But the Diabetes UK thing, I've done a couple of things for them in terms of kind of, I had a sticker on my back of my cricket bat, which was Diabetes UK, just to kind of spread awareness. There's a few pictures of me with that a few years back. And then I've done a couple of workshops for them. I remember there was a sports workshop in Sheffield that I made an appearance at, and that was solely just to go along and help young kids and see how they could, how they were managing with their type 1 diabetes, and in terms of different sports that they played. Their parents were there, so they were asking a lot of questions of me in terms of how I've made it to this stage and how I kind of look after myself and what kind of routines that I'm in. And obviously, just because it works for me, it's not going to work for everybody else, but I can only be there to kind of give them a bit of guidance and try and help them the best I can. And I think it's the best thing for me in this position that I'm in now, is to kind of try and give back to people as well and help them as much as possible.
100%. And also, you did the painting of your nails a couple of years ago, didn't, was it last year?
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, that's one thing I forgot, actually.
I've done my research, Jordan.
Maybe I didn't just want to mention it. It's pictures of me with my nails painted, but no, yeah, I did that. I think it was actually last November, I think it was.
Yeah,
just little things like that. You never know, they can go a long way in helping. And obviously, every time Diabetes UK kind of reach out to me to do things, I'm more than happy to help them in any way I can.
To get involved, 100%. Love it. Do you know many people who have diabetes then now? Have you connected with many people over the last 5-10 years? Obviously, you diagnosed 2013, was it?
Yeah, it's actually weird because it's funny you say that, because before I was diabetic, there was nobody that I knew. And as soon as you become diabetic, it seems like there's people everywhere.
Quite a few buses are going past, eh?
Yeah, I remember going to university and one of my friends on my course was diabetic, and then obviously now with the Freestyle Libre, it becomes a lot more visible. So you can actually go on holiday to obviously more Spain or things like that, and it's hot and people have got short sleeve tops on, and you think, oh, there we go, Freestyle Libre. It's one of my own. So like you see people who are obviously not ashamed to have the centre out, and that's obviously good because they're very, very confident and things like that. So you see people everywhere now, which is obviously, it's good to try and support people and do what you can.
Absolutely. And what about any sort of sports people? Is there any people within cricket that you know have got diabetes, or any other sports that you know of or connect with or have met at occasions or anything?
There's a couple of professional footballers. Scott Allen he plays at Hibernian now. I think he might have been at Celtic. He's diabetic. Henry Slade, who plays rugby for England. He's diabetic, and these lads I've not actually met, but just people that I know of who the Diabetes UK have made me aware that they're diabetic, and obviously sure they have their own routines in their sports, because obviously it's a totally different ball game being playing rugby for 80 minutes and football for 90 minutes compared to a 4-day game in cricket. So I'm sure they have different methods and routines to what I do. But like I said, there's in cricket there's a couple of young children their parents have reached out to me from a kind of a local club cricket level, but at professional level I'm not aware as yet of anybody else.
Yeah, no problems. And I think we've been doing this 11 weeks now, and we've connected with many people. We've had 10 incredible guest speakers who've come on and given us their time and their experience and expertise, and we've had a few different sort of sports people from different backgrounds. We had Hannah McCook, who you may know, she's a professional golf player. Mandy Marquardt, who is a 22 USA champion in cycling. And it was just interesting, and like with your chat tonight, interesting to get different perspectives in terms of exercise and sports and seeing how you guys manage your diabetes, and maybe just give us some sort of tips or pointers or kind of just normalize things and know there's other people out there who are diabetic and are doing these amazing things. And like you say, hopefully then it inspires us guys to get active and involved, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. One thing that I stuck by after getting kind of learning the ropes and getting used to it was that it was just a little bit of a, it just became part of my daily life, and I learned to get on with it as anybody does, and obviously integrating that into my cricket career as well, it's something that I just see as a bit of a challenge and just trying to overcome it.
Yeah, absolutely. What we'll do now, guys, is we're maybe 5 minutes left of Jordan's time, so if anyone wants to jump on the panel, you're more than welcome to come on and ask some questions or hashtag Diabetes Chat. Anything you wanted to ask Chris or Alex? Any final sort of questions? I think they're happy.
Well, I'm just so surprised. I mean, the whole concept of cricket, although I've had friends that play it. I have a coworker that I used to work, someone I used to work with who's from Pakistan, or his family's from Pakistan, who is very into cricket. But I've never been involved, so I'm still trying to really get a handle on the sort of stops and starts. Is that a problem with management when you're playing the game, just sort of the intermittent nature of it, where you may be running really fast briefly and then sort of taking a break?
Yeah, I think it's very much because there's no kind of guarantee that I'll do the same thing one game as I do the next. And I think that's one, it's a bit of a guessing game sometimes. And that's why I'm at the moment very thankful that my sensitivity of my hypos and things is very good, because I can feel if I'm going low. Whereas if I can imagine that if my sensitivity was a bit little bit lower, then it might be a struggle to kind of get a bit of a gauge on where my blood sugar levels were at during a game. And like I said, that could then be different at a different stage next game, because I might not have done as much running, and therefore my blood sugar levels might be at a totally different kind of trend as to what they were last week. So I think it's like I say, you learn from experience, and I'll try and kind of pack up those experiences in my head and learn kind of what routines I have for each year and each game, and then try and look after it as and when. And it's just a matter of how you feel. And I think for me, at the end of the day, it's a very interesting condition, because your body can do very random things at random times, and there's no same day with diabetes, and it's just a matter of doing the best you can.
Have you noticed any sort of differences, sort of, I want to say physiologically, but like as far as like how you feel breathing? I know you've mentioned that you tend to run your blood sugars a little bit higher just for safety and other things when you're actually out on the pitch. Have you noticed that you can actually sense a difference with the how your body reacts to the various blood sugar levels? Are there certain like actual physical things that you sort of watch for?
Yeah. So one thing that is very obvious to me is that if I have in an off season, if I have a couple of days where my blood sugar levels are a little bit high, my eyes are actually affected. So I'll have a couple of days where my eyesight over a long distance is actually a little bit blurry, and I struggle to focus. And I'm guessing that is just a result of having a couple of days where my control is just a little bit off. And another thing is that if I then go back into a routine, I actually start to sense my hypos a lot earlier. So say if my blood sugar level is dropping from 6, I'll take a reading and it'll say 6.1, but it's going down, and I'll actually feel that hypo a lot earlier. And that's just kind of, it must be, that's a result of being a little bit higher for the days past.
Well, I'm sure that's useful.
Yes, definitely. Obviously, the sensitivity for me at the moment is massive. It's a key thing, because the last thing I need is to be going, having hypos and not being able to feel it.
I mean, that kind of leads on to a question we've had on the hashtag diabetes chat. Leve says, was it hard to sort of accept your diabetes, Jordan? And he personally, Leve, hasn't seen many people talk about how hard it can be. And I think you've mentioned many things this evening, and just that comment about your eyes. So just wondering what your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think I like anybody, get very frustrated with myself when I have a bad couple of days, because it can go from being very kind of routine and doing really well with my blood sugar levels, have a great percentage in the green, to then a couple of days later not changing anything, can be a day of kind of 20% in the green, and you're like, well, what have I done wrong? And you're trying to fight with yourself in terms of thinking, have I done something different, or have I just had a couple of off days? And there's nothing that stops you from being frustrated with yourself, because you try, obviously you're trying your best to look after it as well as possible, but your body's just not responding. And that's the most frustrating thing, is that when, no matter what you do, is your body's just not kind of listening or receiving your insulin or things like that. So I think there's always days where I get frustrated, but I just got to keep reminding myself that you're always trying your best, and that's all you can do.
Yeah, totally agree. And then it's like kind of looking at that sort of mindset, isn't it? We're trying to have that mindset of tomorrow's a new day. It's, we can start again, and hopefully we can have a better day if the previous day hasn't been the best, isn't it? It's kind of trying to have that positive mindset as best as you can when you are going through a rough patch or a couple of days or whatnot, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. That's the one thing, is just obviously staying positive and trying to be better the next day.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you so much, Jordan, for coming on tonight. It's been absolutely fascinating, and it's been lovely connecting with you the last couple of weeks, and really appreciate you coming on and spending time with us this evening. I know, like you said at the start of the hour, that you've been in a match for 4 days, and now you're off. And then this week coming now, you've got another match this weekend. Is that right?
Yeah, another match starting Thursday, so that runs Thursday to Sunday.
So how long is this period of matches going for? Is it for like a few weeks, a month or so?
We've got 6 weeks, 6 weeks straight of Thursday to Sunday.
And what sort of routine do you kind of get into? Do you have like the 4 days and then like a day of recovery and then training? What's your sort of normal routine?
Yeah, so Thursday to Sunday play. Today was a day off. And then tomorrow is an optional training session, which I'll go to and do bits and pieces. I won't do a full training session to kind of, I don't want my body to be tired for the game Thursday. And then we'll travel. So it's another away game. So we'll travel Wednesday morning and we'll train at the ground that we are playing at on Thursday. Have a chill afternoon Wednesday and then straight into the game Thursday to Sunday.
And then repeat
for
6 weeks.
6 weeks. Yeah.
Brilliant stuff. So what do you kind of do on these off days when you're off? Do you do anything specific, or do you just like to chill and relax? Or do you do any sort of exercise, maybe like a run or swimming or anything? Or is it, no, it's looking after myself in terms of just chilling?
Yeah. That's one thing that I've found is, well, I'm not sure. I can't really compare it to other people, other lads in my team, but I feel like my recovery as a diabetic is a little bit longer in terms of muscle recovery. So I like to just try and have a couple of off days where I don't do a lot and make sure that I'm ready for Thursday. Because the last thing that I want is to train again Tuesday, Wednesday, and then feel myself feeling sore or stiff on Thursday for the start of the game when I know I've got to go 4 days and kind of try and perform. So I'll try and have as much downtime as possible.
Absolutely. Sounds a great tip to me, mate. Honestly, thank you so much for coming on today. It's been an absolute pleasure. I'm sure we'll all be eagerly watching what you get up to. So please go follow Jordan, guys, on Twitter, Tomo455. Just click on his profile, give him a follow, and you'll check out all the things he's doing. But honestly, thank you for coming on today and taking the time. And like I say, especially after the 4 days of competing and not getting back to late and then coming on this evening, especially on Easter weekend as well. So thank you for your time.
No, it's fine. Thanks for having me on, guys. Really enjoyed it. Thank you.
No worries,
mate.
Thank you,
Tom. Cheers, Tom. Cheers, Chris. Thank you.